is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
The last report brought to you by Truncation. That's right. When you need to shorten things and you just do it, there you go. Thank you to Ed Crane. We'll hear from him one more time today at 8:30. And thanks to Dave Cavill, president of the Oakland A's. That will live on YouTube if you want to go back and check the archive. Also at KHDK.com. We'll put it out throughout social media. Well, more on that later, but it really does sound to me like this. And not a lot of nuance here. If they vote yes on Howard Terminal, the next vote is non-binding. But if they get the next two votes, vote yes, then, hey, the A's stay. And there you go. If they get a no vote either time, the A's are gone and they're going to Las Vegas. And it doesn't seem like there's much room for movement there. Joining us right now, he has been with us well over a year. I was texting with him last night. We both agreed, you know, at some point, listen, you're talking to a guy who's a doctor, a family man who's going to be taking this kid. Well, I guess his kids are out of school now, but... he's a doc, he's a family man. Oh yeah, he's a state senator. He's busy, but yet he somehow carves out a segment each and every week for, like I said, over the last year to answer some of our questions and help shepherd us through with social media and all the crap out there, everything going on with coronavirus. But at some point, you know, hey, listen, he's got stuff to do. And we figured next Wednesday would be a good time to bring to a conclusion our weekly chats right after the state of California opens back up, if you will. But we still have two more visits with him, and there's still a lot of work to be done. The one, the only, Dr. Richard Pan. Dr. Pan, thank you as always. Good morning. How are you? Oh, do we have Doc? Did I press Dr. Pan? Doc? There you are. Hi, Doc. Yeah. Sorry.
There we go.
How are you?
Okay. So I said the last week of school for the kids. Wow. So it's... Yeah, a lot of transitions now.
Yeah, they're still in school. Gosh, most I guess it varies. My kids got out like 3 weeks ago, and I'm trying to figure out what trick all of you other parents have to keep your kids in this long. I'm in the wrong district. Jeez. Before we get started, we were having a conversation. I just have to ask you. You know, we always stick to important things, but I got to ask you. We were having a conversation that kind of spread throughout. All the people at the station and friends of the station, and we have a gentleman's bet on this. Doc, if you had to choose one and one only, cake or pie for the rest of your life, we really truly didn't know where you'd land on this.
I think I'd go for pie.
Pie? That is the correct answer. Jay is in the other room celebrating. Now, bonus question, are you... I guess on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being your favorite, 1 being I wouldn't touch it, where are you at on lemon meringue pie?
Oh, probably in the middle. Okay. I mean, it's good, but it's not something I'd want to have all the time.
That was I will not waste your time going into the background, but we've asked several people this off the air, and I said, you know what? I will ask Doc Pan. He can take a curveball and hit it out of the park. All right, so Doc Pan's a pie guy. There we go.
There you go.
As always, I lead off our conversations asking you, in your opinion, where are we at and what is the theme to you this week?
Sure. Well, the good news is that we're ahead compared to other states on vaccines. We also, because we continue to leave the mask restrictions and so forth until next week, that we actually are... the second lowest state in terms of transmission, so that's really good. But I also keep in mind that virus is still out there. It's in different parts of the country. It's around the world. There are new variants. In fact, now it's called the Delta variant, is shown to be pretty infectious. The good news is that the vaccines actually are good, as far as we know, against all the variants that we know of. Can't promise that in the future there won't be a variant that might escape, but that they're good for all the variants we know of. So if you're vaccinated, you're pretty well protected. problem is that what we also know is that people who aren't vaccinated, we are seeing a rise in cases among them. And in fact, I think there was a Washington Post article that showed that we're starting to see a rise in cases among unvaccinated people. So it's really important people get vaccinated if they can. Also keep in mind, talking about kids, we talked about end of school, that children under 12 can't be vaccinated yet because it's not approved for those children. So we have a lot of households where there are unvaccinated people in the household, namely kids as well. And so we still need to be cautious. It's kind of like a fire. You learn how not to get burned. Doesn't mean that you suddenly get to forget all of that stuff, right? So people need to be cautious to prevent the spread. But the good news is that we're getting, as we get the number of cases down in the community, that makes it much less likely anyone's going to get exposed. So that allows us to do more things with a little less worry. But again, I would say let's be cautious. We still need to get more people vaccinated. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, please consider getting it as soon as possible. That would help out if you can actually get the vaccine, and that would help keep everyone safer.
Dr. Richard Pan with us. You know, I'm sure this is popping up in a lot more households now that 12 and over are eligible to get a vaccination. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this on the air before. You know, myself mm-hmm. and my wife getting vaccinated, that was a far easier decision. Anytime mm-hmm. you're dealing with your children, it becomes a little more, I wouldn't say hesitant, but you definitely, the hair on the back of your neck stands up a little bit. I'm happy to report last week, Wednesday, I think, both my kids took them down to the local whatever, I think it was a Rite Aid, and they mm-hmm. got the first dose of Pfizer. And weirdly mm-hmm. enough, I've tried. No, I actually put some paper clips on my daughter's forehead yesterday, and they fell right off. So no magnetization. I also tried to use my son as a hotspot for my phone mm-hmm. for the 5G. That did not work either. But my kids in a couple weeks will be fully vaccinated with Pfizer, whereas my wife and I are fully vaccinated with mm-hmm. Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. When you have families that have different types of vaccines in the household, I'm assuming that that couldn't matter less, but is there anything popping up about that?
Nope. Everyone's protected if everyone's vaccinated, so it doesn't matter which vaccine each person got, so that's good. One of my sons can actually get vaccine, so he's actually gotten both of his, doing fine. I wish he turned magnetic. It'd be easier to put trackers on him.
Right.
They're magnetic, but unfortunately, no, it just doesn't stick.
Right.
When you have a child who isn't old enough to get vaccinated, you just have to keep in mind, like, okay, well, if we have any plans, one of us in the household is still unvaccinated, and so we have to just keep in mind that that child's still vulnerable. And so I'm very much looking forward to the time when all the children can get vaccinated, happy that at least most of us can get vaccinated. And the more of us that get vaccinated, the less likely the ones who can't get vaccinated will be endangered as well. So So there's lots of good reasons to get vaccinated.
Dr. Richard Pan with us. You know, we're not at community immunity, as you say, but we're a lot closer than we were 6 months ago. And,
oh, yes.
And the number continues. You know, this is the tough part you talked about where the first part is everybody wants a vaccination. Now you're getting into people, a lot of which do not want it or are on the fence, et cetera, et cetera. And you're seeing, as we talked about months ago, you're seeing a lot of governments getting involved with lotteries, like here in California, mm-hmm. with cash prizes. I'm not making this up. The state of Washington has a program now in one of their places called Jabs for Joints, where there's a marijuana dispensary that will allow you to be vaccinated on site and give you a joint in return. Where do you stand, just as a general philosophy, on the, I don't know, lack of a better term, whether it's a bonus, whether it's a bribe, but are we at the point where, within reason, anything we can do to get people vaccinated, that's the way to go?
Incentives are certainly one way to try to motivate some people. So, you have to think there's people who say, okay, I want to get vaccinated, so they're first in line. We saw that at the beginning of the year. You have the other end who say, I just absolutely won't for whatever reason. Fortunately, the science certainly says that you should get vaccinated. But also, by the way, we also have people who can't get vaccinated. Remember, are 12 and under, so that's always a challenge too. And then you have people who, you know, they'd get vaccinated if it was available, but it's not that high of a priority. And we do still have people who want to get vaccinated, but they have trouble getting the vaccine. So it's people who may be working multiple jobs. They may have other concerns that's not about the vaccine, but the process of getting the vaccine, that we have to also lower those barriers. But incentives are helpful, especially for people who may say, you know what, COVID, I'm young, I'm not so worried about getting sick from it. Although I'd point out that even young people get sick from COVID. And so it's just not that high on my list. But if someone told me, hey, I get a $50 card to help me out with my groceries, or I get a chance to win a $50,000, $500,000 prize, yeah, I'll put that higher up on the list of things to get done. And so, you know, as we're trying to reopen in a week, I think that the more people are vaccinated, the less likely after, as we tell people that they can relax a little bit, that we're going to have an outbreak in the future that is going to cause people to have to shut down in local areas. I don't think we'll have an outbreak as big as we had at the beginning of the year across the state. But when you have areas of low vaccination rates, there may be potentially local outbreaks, and we'd like to avoid those as well.
Somebody gave me an analogy the other day, and I want you to try to stay with me. I want to run it by you, and I want you to correct it if necessary. They said the virus is like it can only hang out in the open for so long, and it's constantly looking for doors to open with air conditioning so it can sit down and watch TV and be comfortable. And the more doors it goes to and the more doors it finds locked, in other words, vaccinated folks, it has to stay out in the open and continue to desperately find a door to go into before it just dries out and dies out. When explaining the importance of vaccination and explaining how the more vaccinated, the less we have to worry about this, do you find that analogy applicable?
That is applicable. I mean, you think about it, the virus is constantly looking for another host to invade and then spread and multiply, right? So the virus shows up and then it multiplies in your cells, and then it looks, before you die, it looks to get somewhere else, or before your immune system kills it, it needs to look for another person. And in fact, hanging out in someone's body, it may also be evolving in a way to make it more infectious. That's those variants that show up as well. So if we can be sure the virus has no place to go, and then it's less likely it'll develop variants, and then also eventually it will, you know, die. But that requires people to get vaccinated. I also just want to mention, you know, let's not forget masking. So we may not have to wear masks as much after June 16th, but masking actually has been a very effective way of slowing the spread as well. So certainly being vaccinated means that if you're exposed to the virus, you're less likely to get sick. But when people wear masks, they're less likely to be exposed to the virus as well, because the virus isn't going to be, you know, it doesn't just magically teleport to another person. It has to travel. And so when someone wears a mask, it blocks, helps slow down and decrease the ability of a person who's infected to spread the virus to other people.
Last thing for you, doctor. And I won't, obviously, a lot of this is so much speculation. We won't hold you to it, but you are one of the foremost experts on questions like this when it comes to vaccination development and release. We talked about 12 and over. I got a lot of friends that have kids that are, you know, 2 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old, that are going to preschool next year and that are still very worried about possible transmission. Do you think we're on a track at some point to where, and again, I'm going to fumble this, doc, but for lack of a better term, you have children of that age or even younger being vaccinated for COVID, much like they would receive their normal booster shots or vaccinations for polio and et cetera, et cetera. Are we moving in that direction?
So let's put it this way. It looks like we're on track. Again, you don't know for sure, but probably sometime in the fall, hopefully the trials for younger kids will be completed, and then younger kids can get the vaccine. Now, in terms of COVID being a regular part of the childhood vaccination schedule, like polio, measles, et cetera, that depends a bit on how long the immunity lasts from the vaccine. We've talked about this before. So far, so good. We have not seen waning immunity from the vaccine yet, but the vaccine's only been around for less than a year. So we still have to figure that out. It may be that this vaccine is more like the flu vaccine, where you have to get it every year, but it's possible that the immunity will last even longer, and that perhaps one shot will last you more than a year or maybe even a few years. We don't know yet, just because the virus hasn't been around that long and the vaccine hasn't been around that long. So we're still trying to figure that out in terms of what the, quote, schedule will be. The good news is, so far, all the vaccines we have here in the U.S. are effective against all the variants we know of. So please, please, please get your vaccine now if you're able to get the vaccine. So that's going to help slow down the number of cases we have right now. And that's also going to help out those younger kids everyone's worried about who can't get the vaccine, because the less virus we have in the community, the better off all of us are, vaccinated or unvaccinated. But if everyone gets vaccinated, it makes it much less likely that we have the virus in the community. We, in California, we are leading the trend on that. So actually, Vermont's a little ahead of us, but otherwise, and we're a big state. But we also have pockets of our state where people aren't getting vaccinated basically at lower rates. So they're at higher risk. And we've seen actually some outbreaks up in particularly further north in California, where vaccination rates have been lower. You know, people need to be cautious.
Dr. Richard Pan, you can check him out on Twitter, Dr. Richard Pan, at Dr. Richard Pan. That's Dr. Richard Pan, and at drrichardpan.com. We always appreciate you. We always appreciate the time. And look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. And, hey, you know, listen, maybe get a pie sent your way. You know, we got to thank you somehow.
All right. Well, you know what? Remember we talked about looking forward to people get vaccinated. We do a good job over the summer. We got some games coming up, and we can all do that in person.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Would love to see you at a Kings game here next fall. Appreciate everything, Doc. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Doc. You were right.
Yeah, I know.
He's a pie guy.
I know.
We didn't get the right pie. We didn't get the... Well, we should send him a song.
I'm more generalizing. That's my specialty. When it comes down to like the exact science, not my thing.
No?
No.
Well, that's what he's for.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. According to some.
How much time we have left here?
You got 25 seconds.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Okay. Also, thanks to, we rolled right into Dr. Pan. I want to again thank Dave Cavill for joining us. And much more on that, too.
Yeah, we need to dissect
There's a lot to unpack. And we'll probably unpack a lot of it in the coming days. And then I don't want to stop talking to, you know, we had Ann Killian on. Now we have Dave Cavill on. And I want to continue to have proponents, opponents on each side of the debate on, so that, Not only can we, you know, have the education aspect of it, but also, really and truly, there's...
This feels very much like it needs a town hall with people like Dave, with people like Ann, to your point, the skeptics versus, I'll call Dave an optimistic for a sense of argument here. Like, that does need to be hashed out, because I think both sides bring up really good points, but they're also conflicting points.
You know what I'd like to do? And I know we have to break, but this is important, Jay. You know what I'd like to do? I'm going to ask, whether it's Ann, whether it's, you know, you pick the person.
Sure.
You know, when we have elections, there are debates. And people watch the two candidates and make their own decisions. I would love to offer a podium for whether it's Dave or somebody else, and then someone on the other side to come on this show live and answer the questions, boom, 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 and ask each other questions. I think A's fans, and I think the city of Oakland, I think everybody involved in this deserves that. No canned answers, no, you know, just straight up. So we'll work on that. I know it's not going to happen. We'll work on that. In fact, I will bring them in person up here. And I'll even provide transportation. My good friends at Hoblet Dodge right now. The Dodge Summer Sales Event going on. Up to $5,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorn or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s. Plus 2.49% financing, 84 months. 84 months. My God. That's a long time. That's 7 years. That's thousands in available savings only at Hoblit on new 2021 Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500s. Biggest selection of heavy-duty Rams in California. Over 300 in all sizes available. It's that simple. J.D. Power Award for customer service excellence. Check out the full selection at Hoblit Ram Truck Center or at HoblitDodge.com. Only the only certified Ram Truck Center in the Sacramento Valley. No hassle, no pressure, ever dealership. Best prices, best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Got a lot to get to after an hour of guests. We'll hear from Ed Crane one final time today. Do I see this right? Eric Church tickets? Is that a rumor? Is that accurate? Eric Church tickets. And we will also get to What's the Blue Moon? Jay Mars right after this.
Same Carmichael Dave time. Same Carmichael Dave channel. But a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
We are live. Commerce Circle, Sacramento, California, right off of 160 on a beautiful day here in California's capital. Jay Mars there, me here, 1.5 hour to go. And a lot to cover. From the Twitter app, our guy Gabriel Suarez. That was a softball interview with Dave Cavill. You just let him spew his false message out there that it's not going to cost the taxpayers anything, and all the blame should be on the city for a billionaire's hardball move to acquire land worth billions for practically nothing. So Gabriel did not listen to the interview. Appreciate that. I mean, listen. I asked every question. I followed up on almost every question. Some people want you to take sides and call a guy a liar. I did the same thing with Ann. And then the next time I bring somebody who is...
Here's the thing.
You ask the questions. Right. They answer the questions.
You follow up. I'm seeing this online too. Now it's becoming a he said, she said BS. Cavill's a liar.
Which, by the way,
if you're in the Cavill camp, and Killian and the San Francisco media are a liar. It's like, guys.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And to be clear, the response is on the, of course, I guide only to the negative. The
yes,
response
we literally have rejoiners about that.
We appreciate your response. And yes, I very much enjoyed that interview and enjoyed. Listen, that's Cavill's job. And that's why I want to reiterate, I would like to have reps from both sides on at the same time. Because I can do this. I can bring on somebody who is against the arena and they're going to say their thing unchecked. Bring Cavill on or whoever with the A's or a surrogate and they're going to say their thing unchecked. And if your response is, well, Dave, why don't you check them? Listen, I'm going to follow up with them. But ultimately, it's like the Laurel and Yanni thing? You know, some people hear one thing, some people hear the other. Mm-hmm. Some people see pink, some people see gray. There's a lot of gray area here.
I would say 95% of the story is gray area.
I'm not here to take sides, and neither are you. My side is I want the A's to stay.
Yeah, no, that I will take that side. Give me that side all day. I want the site to be done at Howard Terminal. I will go ahead and put that out there. I feel comfortable. Look at me.
Sure.
No fence sitting here.
And I think that'd be great for the city. I think it'd be great for A's fans. I think it would be awesome. I think they do deserve a waterfront ballpark, just like Candlestick Park was I grew up at Candlestick. I loved Candlestick, but I get it. It was windy. It was a dump. It was this.
Dump, damn it.
That's exactly.
That was a 49ers fan said.
I remember Candlestick Park and all the memories I had there. Most of my memories having to do with the Niners or the Giants came at Candlestick Park with my dad and mom. And I look back at Candlestick fondly while still being able to acknowledge that towards the end, it really, really had to go.
I think Candlestick Park was a dump by the late 80s.
And
I feel comfortable saying that.
And I think that A's fans, and I hope that A's fans eventually someday will be able to, while sitting in their brand spanking new sparkly Howard Terminal Park, look back at the Coliseum in the same way. Hey, listen, it was a dump and we had to get out of here. This new ballpark's great, but you know what? The sounds, the smells, the look. From the inside, there was character, and there was much like, you know, how Niner fans were with Levi Stadium. It's very sterile there.
But I think here's a more positive scenario is as Kings fans, this is a very relatable thing going from Arco to G1C.
Uh-huh.
We all miss Arco, the quote unquote Arco Thunder. It was a dump, but it was our dump. It was home. But boy, let me tell you something. After one game at Golden 1 Center, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I like moving out of, you know, the dump, so to speak, to the shiny, new, beautiful, multi-million-dollar home. I'm good. I'm good in my cushioned seat and my non-cold chicken strips.
They're
great.
They're always going to be grass is greener. Listen, there are things about the old Arco I very much miss. I miss how everyone was on top of everybody. I miss the stomping on the wooden floors. I miss the ingress and egress and the easy parking in the parking lot and tailgates and all that stuff. Like, there's plenty of things I look back fondly at Arco Arena for. But I not one time have I ever been like, hey, you know, this Golden 1 Center, never.
Did you ever sit at a Kings game in the last 5 years and be like, you know, this would have been such a better experience if we were at Arco?
Never. Never.
Go A's. Get that Howard Terminal Park.
Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
I want to acknowledge real quick, Jay, we are aware of text line issues for some of you, the number being 916-339-1140. We've established really what ultimately happens in this day and age. It's not our fault. It's yours.
At least sort of.
Your carrier, I should say. But we're still trying to work that out. And also, the live feed on the app is kind of blinking up and down. Some days will be better than that. We're aware. We hear you. We always check it out. And we do apologize.
We do have tech people working on these issues. Yes. We're not the tech people.
And not like, yeah, right. And not like at the end of, what was it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where it was like, who do you have working on it? Top people. And, you know, then they put the Ark in the warehouse. No, we actually have people working on it. We hear you. Just wanted to acknowledge that. Once in a blue moon, Jay Mars, hold on.
It's a twofer.
Twofer? A twofer Wednesday?
A twofer Wednesday. You ready for part one?
I am.
Donovan Mitchell. You may have heard of him.
Don Mitchell. Is he as good? Donnie Mitchell.
Donnie Mitchell is good. Don Mitchell's a reliever in 74 for the Braves. Donnie Mitchell had a good run in the NBA in the mid-90s, but ACL injury took him out. Donovan Mitchell, though, best of all three.
But Donovan is not a Donald, so
Can I get to the story?
Go ahead. Just saying.
He recorded his fourth career 40-point playoff game in Game 1 versus the Clippers.
Did he do that with an iPhone? Did he do it like audio?
Did he punch you?
I just want to know what he used to record it. Oh, you mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to start over again. For those of you that might be a little confused at this point, Donovan Mitchell recorded his fourth career 40-point playoff game in Game 1 versus the Clippers, tying Karl Malone for the most 40-point playoff games in Jazz history.
Uh-huh.
This was Mitchell's 28th playoff game for Utah. Malone's fourth 40-point effort came in his 149th playoff game.
I'm not going to remember it right, but I remember when Mitchell had 30-something, they showed the stat on screen, and I think it was Donovan Mitchell's 12th playoff game with 30 or more, and that he's number two, and Karl Malone's number one. He has like 55.
Yeah.
Got a ways to go, buddy. Carl was in attendance last night, by the way.
Yay. Part two. Donovan Mitchell has three 45-point playoff games. That's more than Steph Curry, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Donovan Mitchell putting up points early in his career.
Is that right?
Isn't that interesting?
That is kind of interesting, by the way.
Like, I would have thought Steph had more than one 45-point playoff game performance, right?
I would 100%.
I would have thought Dame had more than two. I would have thought Harden had more than one.
For the final minute, I've got something for you. MVP winners by draft pick. The number one pick in the NBA draft has won the MVP 21 times.
Okay.
Number two, 10. Third pick, 7. Fourth and fifth picks, 2. Sixth pick, 3. Seventh pick, 2. 8 and 9 both have won once. 10 and 11 have never won. 12 won it once. 13 won it 3 times. The 15th pick in the draft has won the MVP 4 times.
That's random.
Well, isn't Giannis? Wasn't he the 15th? So that's 2. Okay. The next lowest pick after the 15th pick in the draft to win the MVP, number 41.
Nikola
Jokic. By far, the lowest pick to ever win MVP in league history.
Also, I'm not Mr. Super Tanky guy, but I'm also, hey, you should get as high as a pick as possible because you're going to have a better chance at a generational talent, which usually is what MVPs are. Doesn't that stat kind of lead a little bit of credence there?
Second, third, fourth, and fifth picks in the draft all put together equal MVPs for the number one pick.
Just saying.
I mean, it's not an exact science. No, not everybody needs to be an MVP, but odds, odds are greater if you have the one pick. That pick's going to be an MVP someday. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, coming up next. I'm just going to warn you here. We've got what's on tap. We're going to hear and ask a crossover, but we're also going to play for the first time ever on any show I've ever done a comment from Robert Horry. I know. We'll do all that after this.
Hey, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh.
It's what's on tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's what's on tap. Brought to you by
Hump Day.
Stop.
We started the show with it. We got to end the show. It's a Hump Day sandwich.
Hump Day is
hey,
dumb.
Now.
But like towards the end of tonight, now you do start kind of barreling forward towards the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, programming. No, I just want to keep reminding people because I always get yelled at the Jay and Matt show next Friday.
We'll be live in studio.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Several surprise guests.
Really?
No. That's just what you're supposed to tease, like, when you want people to listen. We're going to have so many surprises. Content you can't get anywhere else.
I know this. It will be a very well-run professional show with hot debates and conversations and takes.
Lots of takes. Takes galore. It'll be a real take-a-thon.
Daytime baseball today.
Woo!
Giants Rangers 11:05. The debut, we think, of Sam Long. Carmichael's Sam Long. Now, I heard on the post game yesterday, Gabe Kapler was waiting to see how the bullpen would go yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then I heard them say they think there's going to be actually an opener today. I don't know if Sam's officially starting or not, unless that's changed since I got on the show. But as of the post game last night, it didn't sound like Sam was going to start. Either way, big day for him and his family.
Unless he's starting a bullpen game.
He takes on Kyle Gibson. Maybe. No,
by the way, it's Sammy Long now.
Well, I saw that, and I wonder if he actually goes. Now I'm trying to figure out, does it go by Sammy, or is it because the Sam Long, when you look it up, is like a big-time soccer player?
That's exactly what it is. That's why I changed my name, because if you actually look at my first and last name, it is a very handsome European soccer player.
There's a European soccer player named Jay Mars?
Yeah, no, I changed my name to Jay Mars, because my government is a very handsome European soccer player.
Kyle,
I'm serious, look it up.
No, I believe you. I'm going to look it
up. You might get turned on.
Kyle Gibson will face off against perhaps Sam Long. 4-0, 206 ERA for Kyle. Also, day baseball. How are we going to do this right here on the Sporty? The A's, who, by the way, the Giants are red hot, so are the A's. They are still in first place. Sean Manaea, 4-2, 3-3-6, taking on Matt Peacock, who is 2-2 with a 4-6-8.
I think it's Peacock.
Peacock. That sounds like a chicken. Peacock! I just saw the dumbest thing on Twitter, too. That just...
You know, that's an evergreen statement.
If Steven Tyler was a chicken, it would have been, Bach this way.
Good God.
I told you.
What do you follow?
I told you.
Do you follow, like, dad joke accounts?
I actually...
Okay, see, there it is.
I do follow a dad, but that wasn't even what it was from. But I 100% follow dad jokes on Twitter. All right, this is weird, and I don't like it, but I can't deny that I think this is a pretty newsworthy clip. It's Ryan Russillo of The Ringer talking to Robert Horry I'm playing this not because I hate the listeners, but because Ryan Russillo asks Robert Horry, who was better, Shaquille O'Neal or Hakeem Olajuwon? And Robert Horry answers.
So who was better, Hakeem or Shaq?
I said that.
Hakeem was better. Shaq was more dominant, but Hakeem was better.
What?
You want me to expand on that?
Yeah, I do. Because, look, I feel like, you know, and I know we're all a little guilty of this stuff where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, this guy's so underrated. This guy's, because, like, my two biggest criminally underrated players are Moses and Hakeem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the guys that I go, well, is Hakeem too low? You know, and then, I mean, it gets real hard when we're talking about, yeah, like, the greatest single players. Like, all right, so go ahead, expand on that.
Well, I think as far as his talent, I think Dream had more talent. He could, you know, Shaq had handlers, but Dream had a little bit better handlers. Dream could shoot free throws. We all know about Shaq's free throws. He had a fadeaway. Shaq was just this brute strength, just dunk on you and just, you know, get you out of the way. And I think that is the difference where, you know, Dream had a little bit of strength. He could go, you know, pound for pound. Because think about it. He went up against Patrick Ewing, you know, a strong guy. David Robinson, strong guy. You know, and that's what I mean about Shaq was more dominant in the sense that he could just – Dream wasn't going to dunk on you. He was going to shake you out your pants and then shoot a fadeaway. Or he might dunk on you, but it's that difference that separated. You know, Shaq, when he was in Orlando, he had a little bit of more finesse. But as he got older, he got bigger and stronger, and he just knew what to do. He's just, I'm just going to drop step you, dunk on you. I'm going to hit you with a little jump hook and these things. So he was dominant because of his strength and power. And Dream was just a little bit better because of his finesse and his power.
That is a very, very good breakdown of the two players.
I had to play it. Really, I had good. To.
Also, I agree with him.
I do, too.
I think if you put prime Hakeem on those Lakers teams in the early 2000s, they still win titles.
I agree.
Prime
with
Hakeem
you.
Was unbelievable to watch. Do you remember? I think it was the 95 Western Conference Finals. David Robinson won the MVP that year, mm-hmm. And everyone thought the Spurs were going to handle the Rockets. And Hakeem just went in there and pants David Robinson for that series.
Yep.
I mean, just made him look silly in his MVP year. That's when I was like, yo, Hakeem is a bad, bad man. Bad man.
Two-time MVP, 12-time All-Star, two-time Defensive Player of the Year. And I agree with Ryan Russillo. Hakeem Olajuwon gets a ton of accolades. Might be criminally underrated.
Yeah, he is criminally underrated. We don't talk about how awesome he was. When you talk about, is he really like the most, but let's say between 1960 and 2010, 50 years, the most skilled big man?
I think he might be the most skilled.
No, I think Jokic is the most skilled big man of all time.
There's just different. Yeah, and you got to listen. I can't have a center conversation without talking about Kareem.
Sure. No, I just mean in skill. I think,
yeah.
I'm not saying Kareem. I think Kareem was better than Hakeem. But I mean just pure skill and the things he was able to do.
Yeah. Hakeem didn't really have a weakness.
No.
He really didn't have a weakness. And that Dream Shake was unstoppable.
Yeah, you couldn't stop
it. It was as unstoppable as that Skyhook. It really, really was. I had to play that, dude. And I hate it. But
he's right.
He's right.
I miss Hakeem in the NBA.
I do, too. I really, really do. All right, we have a crossover.
He does.
Let's do it, then.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right, DC, on the crossover today, congrats to the big fella, Jokic.
Yes, MVP.
First time since Shaq has done that. When you win an MVP and you got a contract coming up because...
Paper chase.
Yeah, little numbers and little moving around. He's going to get around $241 million on an extension.
Well, that leads us to our question, gentlemen. So if you guys are general managers, your owners, you're paying some people, it could be male or female, who would be the highest paid athlete, your top three, if you were paying, and what would it be?
Yeah, unlimited, all sports. Who do you think should be the top three paid athletes in the world?
Yeah, holla, big dollars.
All right, so
Tyrese Halliburton.
Again, I always have to ask the caveat here. I assume this is for next season and next season only, because if you talk, then you have to bring in age, length of contract?
Let's go with right now.
Right now for one season only. I would say in the NBA.
Did they say? I thought they said athlete. Or who would be the?
Yeah, three? Yeah. I was just trying to. Trying to think of the one that has the most effect
on their sport.
And I want to say Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
It's tough.
That's one. That's a good answer, though. I'll take that.
I want to say in basketball, you know, the answer for the last 10 years has been LeBron without a blink. I don't think it is anymore.
KD?
For 1 year. That is a tough question. KD or Steph? And in baseball, it's probably Mike Trout. Crossover question for you, gentlemen. Yeah, I actually played a Robert Horry sound clip on the show today. I know. He was asked who was better, Hakeem Olajuwon or Shaquille O'Neal. He played with both. He said Hakeem. My question to the two of you, do you agree? For Jay, for Richard Pan, for Dave Cavill, for all of you, see you tomorrow. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye now.